And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am Chip Patterson, and you have tuned in to the Week 6 Expert Picks podcast. I am joined by Jerry Hennon and Tom Fornelli, and if you were listening to this on Thursday, then you need to get on Twitter and wish a happy birthday to Tom Fornelli. So happy birthday, Tom!
Happy birthday!
Thanks, guys. That's so sweet.
Maybe I'll let you have a better record than me at the end of this week for first place in the expert pick standings because it's your birthday.
Thank you. I'm just happy that I finally joined you as an old-ass man.
but we can only celebrate Tom's birthday for so long because we've got a loaded slate of top 25 games, mostly because there's not a lot of top 25 teams playing each other. So we got a lot of games to pick. We're going to try and burn through as many as we can here in the podcast, and we will hope you enjoy it. We begin with the 8 o'clock game, and it is between some top 25 teams. It, of course, is number 4, Ohio State, traveling to Evanston, play number 16, Northwestern. Northwestern, a 5.5-point dog, the way we picked it. This is really arguably one of the biggest games in the Pat Fitzgerald era for Northwestern. Ohio State comes in covering 7 out of 8. Buffalo is their only against the spread loss. I don't think Northwestern's D has faced anything yet quite like Ohio State's Braxton Miller. Tom, what's your initial read on this game, and then, of course, your pick?
I wrote about it a little bit in line study, but seeing the line on this game, I feel like this is an obvious pick just because, like you mentioned, Northwestern's defense really hasn't been great to start the season. As far as the rest of the Big Ten is concerned, it's pretty much in the middle of everything. But if you look at the two games against Cal and Syracuse, they've allowed 983 yards in those two games. It was against Western Michigan and Maine that they only allowed 723 yards. So if you're looking against, you know, actual real competition with good offenses, they're giving up nearly 500 yards a game. And Ohio State is an offense that is averaging 500 yards a game, nearly 7 yards a play, and 48.2 points per game. And to me, I just feel like this is a game in which Northwestern's defensive deficiencies are going to get exposed by Braxton Miller and the Ohio State offense. And I'm taking Ohio State minus 5.5, and I'm feeling mighty comfortable with it.
Jerry, 5 out of 6 CBSSports.com experts picked Ohio State to cover this number. Bruce Feldman was the only one to side with the Wildcats. Were you as comfortable picking the Buckeyes?
No, I wasn't. I think if this number was up over a touchdown, I would probably be with the Wildcats. They went 7-0 at home against the spread last season, and this really is, I think, Pat Fitzgerald's best team. I think they are going to be feisty. I think this is going to be a much more competitive game than Tom does. But all that said, I expect Ohio State to win for all the reasons Tom mentioned. And 5.5, just, it's not enough points. Like, I think the gap between these teams is just a little bit wider. I think we're looking at, you know, a 7-point, 8-point kind of game, you know, similar to the one we saw with Ohio State and Wisconsin last week, where Ohio State kind of has the game in control there once we get into the final stages of the game. It's close, but I like Ohio State.
Moving out to another game of top 25 opponents to the farm, where Washington, with their fast start, runs into Stanford. Stanford, a 6.5-point favorite the way that we picked it. This is a game where Stanford lost last year to Washington. Washington pulled the upset, and it eventually led to the transition from Josh Nunez to Kevin Hogan, and Kevin Hogan really taken off since that game. We are Stanford 4 experts taking them, Washington 2, Bruce Feldman, and Jerry Hennon. So, Jerry, starting with you, what do you like about the Huskies covering this number, and are you giving them a chance to even pull the upset on the road?
I absolutely think they've got a chance to pull this upset. I have been extremely impressed with Washington so far this year. Bishop Sankey is one of the nation's leading rushers. Keith Price has been very steady. Justin Wilcox's defense has been airtight, just gave up 13 points. Admittedly at home, but still 13 points to an Arizona offense that had looked very good up until that point. You know, beat Boise State going back to week one, 38-6. The bottom line is Washington has won 3 of their 4 games against the spread, and the one that they lost, they outgained Illinois by about 300 yards and were kind of unfortunate not to win by more than 10 points. you know, they haven't been quite as good on the road under Steve Sarkisian as they have been at home, but I don't think it matters. I think they're good enough to possibly pull the upset. I've got Stanford straight up, but I definitely think this is a one-play kind of game, and I feel pretty good taking the Huskies with the points at this stage.
This is a first of all, great game, and after a couple weeks of having a lots of different sort of the, what'd you call it, the triumvirate of insomnia?
The carousel of insomnia.
This is the only 10:30 kick that we've got this week. Ooh. So there is no reason for you not to be focused on Washington and Stanford, two of the best teams in the Pac-12 North. Pac-12 North, arguably maybe the second best division in football. Tom, what do you like about Stanford?
First of all, real quick, I want to point out that Hawaii kicks off at midnight again.
Of course. Yeah. Are they playing? They're
somebody.
San Jose State.
No, I went with Stanford just simply because like Jerry, I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Washington, particularly on offense this year. The best defense the Huskies have faced this season is statistically wise, it's Arizona, and Arizona's built its defensive statistics against Northern Arizona, UNLV, Texas, San Antonio, and Washington in a rainstorm last week. So I don't know how much credit we can really give the Wildcats defense there, and I think we would all agree that Stanford's defense is much stouter than any of the four defenses the Huskies have faced. And I feel like Stanford, the key to stopping Washington is stopping Bishop Sankey. And I feel like that's something Stanford is capable of doing. So with Washington right now, while I'm really, really high on what they're doing, this to me is that prove it kind of game. Yep. So if they could prove it to me this week, then I'll start giving them more benefits when it comes to playing teams like Stanford and Oregon in the future this season.
Healthy Shane Scove, Trent Murphy playing well along the defensive line. I think this is a tough pick. Great game. I also picked Stanford, but would not be surprised if Washington kept it close. All right, moving out to Jerry World. Do we have to say AT&T now? What's the deal with Cowboys Stadium? Because now I'm getting it mixed up.
I literally just found out that they changed it to AT&T Stadium this week. I didn't even know. So I'm still calling it Jerry World. I don't give a crap.
Okay. Well, let's just say Jerry World, and then we all know exactly what stadium we're talking about.
Yeah, because if you say AT&T Stadium, people look around like, huh? If you say Jerry World, everybody's like, oh, okay.
And there's ignorant college folks don't know what you're talking about. I assume that NFL people have been calling it AT&T Stadium for probably months now while we were in a bunker. But I think for us, let's just go with Jerry World, which is a name that, a Jerry myself is one I happen to like.
Well, it's especially confusing because Texas Tech has AT&T in their stadium name. That's AT&T something stadium, right?
Yeah, it's like something, AT&T Jones something, I don't know.
Anyway,
I think that's the official name of it, actually.
It's Lubbock. That's what I call it. I can't remember the name of the stadium.
The Catholics and the Devils playing in Jerry World. Arizona State, they'll have those fire helmets, which I'm sure many of you have seen, and you can check out on CBSSports.com. Arizona State comes into the game as a 5.5-point favorite. It's an interesting game because Notre Dame really needs this game in order to get back on track after things have sort of been shaky in the last couple weeks. Tom, I'm going to start with you. What was your pick in this game? And do you think that Notre Dame is going to be able to put it together? Arizona State, of course, coming off of the USC win, which cost Lane Kiffin his job.
I picked Arizona State, and I can't remember who tweeted it this morning, and I wish I could because I feel like a douche, but I saw the stat on Twitter this morning that since Brian Kelly took over Notre Dame, the Irish are 4-12 when they allow 21 points or more to an opponent. And considering what we've seen from both the Notre Dame defense this year and what the Arizona State offense did to USC last week to get Lane Kiffin fired, I don't know what reason we have to think that the Sun Devils aren't going to get to 21 points against the Irish this week. In fact, I would expect them to get to 30. And from what we've seen from the Irish offense, even against Arizona State's defense, which I think is better this year than we're used to seeing, I still don't see how the Irish are going to be able to keep pace with this team. So as weird as it feels to be picking Arizona State in a big game, that's what I'm doing.
One of the things that stood out to me is if Tommy Rees, they cannot keep up like you're saying, then what's going to happen when he starts pressing? And when Cody Kessler was pressing last week, that's when the turnovers started. You got Alden Darby, who got two interceptions, one return for a touchdown, a fumble recovery. I think this is a Arizona opportunistic Arizona State defense that will be looking to create turnovers. Jerry, you picked Arizona State as well. We are four for Arizona State. What else do you like about the Sun Devils or not like about the Irish?
What I like about the Sun Devils is that Todd Graham is 8-2 against the spread as a favorite. There, that's it.
All right, that's fine
with
me.
That's a good thing to like.
Yeah, we move into the Thursday. One of the Thursday games, we will not be picking Texas Iowa State. Sorry, that guys. Would either of you pick Iowa State for the upset in that game?
Well, I don't know.
We recently found out David Ash isn't playing, right. So maybe.
Could be the beginning of the swoops era.
Hold on. Let me think about it for 5 seconds. No, Iowa State's not
going to. All right.
No, Iowa State's been terrible.
They've been awful.
This game.
Well, not against Tulsa, but against everybody else.
Yeah.
All right. Pac-12 Thursday night game. Very, very good game. UCLA traveling to Utah. Utah, a 4.5-point underdog. UCLA, 3-0 against the spread. Utah, 3-1 against the spread, with the only non-cover being an overtime loss to Oregon State. Travis Wilson has really been great with Dennis Erickson and Brian Johnson calling the shots as co-offensive coordinator. Jerry, I look at the fact that he's played Utah State, Oregon State, and BYU. Those are three well-coached defenses. Mm-hmm. What was your pick in this game, and how do you think this one's going to play out?
If we were picking a quarantine game for this week, I think this would be it.
Absolutely.
I think UCLA is absolutely the better team. I think Brett Hundley, and that whole UCLA offense really has it rolling. I think Utah is good, but just not simply in that sort of division winning class of UCLA. And so I look at 4.5 points and I think, well, this is one score. I just have to go with the better team, the team that I believe will win the game. But we're talking about this game being on the road on a Thursday night at a Utah team that, as you point out, Travis Wilson has been incredible. The defense was stout against BYU. Is definitely better against the run than the pass, but we have to see a little, that's sort of UCLA's strength, though, is running the ball more so than throwing it. I think this is going to be a nip and tuck game, and it is not one I would want to have any actual money on.
Yeah, I'm with you. Very, very. I would not advise our listeners. I would not just watch this game and enjoy it. Tom, we all went UCLA, by the way. All the experts.
Yeah, it surprised me. Makes me think I should have gone Utah.
Tom, would you take UCLA? Would you take UCLA?
It's too much confidence.
Minus 6.5.
I agree with Jerry. I'm terrified of this game because I do feel like UCLA is the much better team. But it's just like you said, Thursday night game, and generally in Thursday night games, you want to go with the underdog. I think that's been a trend for the last few seasons. And now, especially, it's a home underdog. But I have to go with UCLA. Just like I said, I think they're the better team. If it was like a 6-point spread or a 7-point spread, I'd probably be more inclined to go Utah. But this is, like Jerry said, this is a game I would just stay the hell away from.
Yeah. All right, moving over to the ACC, number 25, Maryland, 4-0. Surprising start for the Terps. They are going to visit Florida State, their ACC Atlantic rivals. The Seminoles are 15.5-point favorites the way that we picked the game. Starting with you, Tom, you have picked the Seminoles along with Jerry and Bruce Feldman. So let's start with you. What do you like about Famous Jameis and this Florida State team?
You know, I thought about this one for a while because there was a part of me that wanted to pick Maryland. It's just I couldn't pull the trigger on it. I think the Terps are definitely on the way back to being not a terrible football team, and that's very good. But Jameis proved something to me last week when Florida State fell behind early at Boston College. And as we've seen in recent history, that's the type of moment where Florida State tends to, fall apart and screw up at a point where it's not supposed to. But he just absolutely had a phenomenal second quarter, and I just feel like he's too good to let this team come back home against the Maryland team that has played well, but who's Maryland really beaten? So I feel like Florida State's still the much better team, and I am worried about 15.5 points, but I think this is a game where Jameis Winston and the Seminoles just kind of further assert themselves.
Jerry?
I think we are catching Maryland at their absolute sort of peak value here. I don't think they're really as good as a 15-point spread on the road at Florida State suggests. As Tom points out, their victims so far this year include FIU, UConn, Old Dominion, you know, it's a decent
Jerry
FCS
stroke
team,
it out.
But, you know, and then, you know, they did have the very, very impressive 37-0 win against West Virginia, but that's a game where West Virginia clearly did not have the right player in at quarterback, turned the ball over 6 times, shot themselves in the foot left and right. You know, Maryland is due, I think, to play a much worse game. And I think Florida State is due, especially at home where they've already covered twice, is due for a much better game than they played against Boston College. I think Florida State rolls in this one.
If this was under 14, I would absolutely side with the Seminoles. I'm just a little bit nervous at the fact that Florida State's defense allowed Boston College to continue to score in the second half. I know you never want to predict a schmackdoor schmover, but for some reason, I think Mike Locksley, with all those weapons they have on offense, I could see them finding a way to get behind that sort of reshuffled secondary. Tyler Hunter is still questionable with a neck injury, and I would not be surprised if he sits another one as they kind of move cornerbacks to safeties. But should be interesting. We'll learn a lot about Maryland. We'll learn the most that we have yet this season. On Saturday. Sticking in the ACC, got Georgia Tech and Miami. Georgia Tech fell to Virginia Tech on a Thursday night game. And Miami, you know, this is a Miami team that is a little bit banged up. Duke Johnson got a little bit of a case of the fumbles. Stephen Morris nursing a sprained ankle. Hurricanes seem a little bit vulnerable, and that spread, the way we picked it, at 5.5. So I'm starting back with you, Jerry. What's your thought on this game? You and I are the only ones that are taking the Jackets.
I think what we saw from Georgia Tech against Virginia Tech was a little bit of an anomaly because Virginia Tech won that game with their defensive line, and Miami does not have Virginia Tech's defensive line. It's sort of questionable if anybody in the country has Virginia Tech's defensive line because those guys are clearly truly outstanding. And I think if you don't have that kind of defensive line, I'm still very impressed by Vadley's ability to throw the ball, you know, get a little bit of balance into that offense. I think Georgia Tech's defense, you know, with Ted Roof there coaching, is one that maybe is a little bit better against a pro-style offense like we're going to see from Miami than a spread-style offense. You know, he was the Jackets were getting some stick for that performance against Virginia Tech. You know, in the end, they allowed 17 points, you know, despite the Tech offense turning it over in their own end a couple of times. I don't think the Tech defense is, you know, in that much of a wobbly shape. I think they go on the road and get the upset.
Tom, you and I talked a little bit about Miami recently, it being concerning that they seem to offensively rely on a lot of home run plays, but you still like them to cover this 5.5 number.
Yeah, my main reasoning behind this was that, you know, as we all know, Georgia Tech's offense, it's the triple option. You know, it's built on running, and Miami's run defense has been very good to start the year. They're only allowing 3.38 yards per carry on defense this season, which is a top 30 run defense. And I feel like Miami, while it doesn't have the defensive line Virginia Tech has, I think it's got a good enough front seven with enough, you know, athletes to limit Georgia Tech's option attack. And if you limit Tech's option attack, then you're going to make Vadley beat you throwing. And while Vad's much better than any quarterback we're used to seeing Paul Johnson having, that's kind of a tallest midget award, if you ask me, because as we saw last week when Vad was just chucking the ball up, he literally just chucks the ball up there. And I think against Miami's defense, particularly in the secondary, he's not going to be able to get away with it that much. I think he's going to turn the ball over a few times. And with the game in Miami, I think Miami's just more athletic, and I think Miami's going to win. Although if Stephen Morris thinks that South Florida was dirty last week, he should talk to his defensive line after this game, after they've been dealing with the Georgia Tech offensive line cut blocking them for 3.5 hours.
Very true. If you want some players to watch in that front seven, check out Jimmy Gaines and Denzel Perryman at the linebacker position, particularly against that Georgia Tech offense. They need to come up big. All right, moving to really another fascinating game for so many reasons, from a storyline perspective, from a fact that, you know, we are going to learn even more about these teams. Ole Miss going up against Auburn. The game is a 7 o'clock kickoff. It's at home for the Tigers. They are 3.5-point dogs. Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn, you know, their friendship, that's kind of become one of the stories of the week. Jerry, of course we got to start with you here, Mr. SEC. Well, how do you think this one plays out? Ole Miss coming off that 25-0 game against Alabama, a little deflated. I'm very curious to see what happens here.
I am too. I think this is another one that is not something I would want to bet the house on or bet even just the guest bathroom on, really. Ole Miss going on the road, we've seen them do very well against Texas. We saw them do a little less well but still pull out the game against Vanderbilt. So we know they can go on the road and perform well against teams that are roughly of Auburn's caliber. I think at the same time, though, Auburn has been improving throughout the season. They had the very good performance against Arkansas State. Nick Marshall looked very good against Ole Miss, even if the running game didn't against Mississippi State, even if the running game didn't get going as much. And then the following week at LSU, then they got the running game going. Trey Mason and Cameron Artis Payne combined to average over 5 yards a carry in that game without breaking off any huge big touchdown runs, and Corey Grant is healthy this week as well. That Ole Miss front seven, obviously Robert Kendiche is a stud, but overall the front seven just hasn't really been as impressive as I think some people, myself included, expected it to be this season. Gave up some yards to Vandy, gave up some yards on the ground to Texas in the first half. You know, sort of wilted in the second half there at Alabama, although that's somewhat excusable. But if Auburn's running game has continued to take a step forward over the bye week, which they had last week, I think they're going to put up some yards. Ultimately, I picked Ole Miss just because I think they're, again, as with the UCLA-Utah game, I think Ole Miss is just still a little bit of a better team. They're in the same sort of rebuilding effort that Auburn's going through. They're just a year ahead of it. You know, they went through the first year coach struggles last season, got some of the kinks out of the system. They're a year ahead. I think in the end they've got just enough to win this game, just enough to cover the 3.5. But you know, it's tight, and an Auburn upset here would not surprise me at all.
Really intriguing game. Tom, you've got Auburn covering this number. Do you have them winning straight up as well?
Yes, an Auburn upset would not surprise me at all because I picked Auburn to win the game straight up.
And you're right all the time.
And I've never been wrong about a single damn thing in my life.
But why'd you pick them?
For a lot of what Jerry was talking, I feel like Auburn's run offense has improved greatly this year under Malzahn, and for obvious reasons because of the offense Malzahn runs. But also, it's just an inkling more than anything because Auburn did have the bye week last week, and after recording themselves quite well against LSU, I think that even though they lost that game, I was very impressed because they had every excuse really to just kind of lay down and die during the first half of that game. But they did not sit down and they fought back the entire time, even though they really never had a chance to win the game. And they earned a lot of my respect in that game. And I feel like with the bye week to prepare for an Ole Miss team that is very young and kind of got its ass handed to it last week, and I'm not sure how they're going to react with so much youth on that team to getting beat the way it got beat last week by a really good Alabama team. So I feel like the confidence in Ole Miss could be low. They're heading on the road against this week into another, you know, very loud, very vocal stadium against a team with a good run offense. And I think Auburn's going to pull it out. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think Auburn's going to pull it out at the end.
Georgia traveling to Knoxville. This is the SEC game of the week. The Volunteers are 11.5-point underdogs at home. And, gentlemen, I look at this and I'm like, I don't know. Georgia's going to win, but maybe this is a letdown game after the big win. You know, maybe Gurley's not there. And then I realized that Tennessee has not beat a ranked team since 2009. And I just don't think that there is enough. I don't think they're consistent enough to be able to hang with the Bulldogs, even within 2 touchdowns. Tom, is there anything that stands out to you? We're 5 out of 6 picking Georgia to cover this number. Dennis Dodd, the only one taking the Volunteers.
Dennis is just trolling with that pick. He has to be. Tennessee barely escaped beating South Alabama at home last week. And admittedly, I think that South Alabama
pretty good.
A better.
Yeah.
I think there's better team than anybody's willing to give them credit for just because they're South Alabama and they just came up to FBS. I think they're a pretty decent team, but still, Tennessee barely beat them at home. And now I'm supposed to expect that they're going to cover, you know, an 11.5-point spread against a Georgia team that just ripped LSU's secondary to shreds. Did you see what Oregon did to Tennessee's defense? Georgia's going to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, Jerry, what do you anything that stands out? Or how about this? If we're going to make this pick interesting, where would you take the Vols?
I would take them at 20 points, 20 yeah. and a half maybe, once we're starting to get up into that 3 TD range. This is one of those where, you know, you can't sit here and say it's impossible for Georgia to go on the road and lay an egg. They only beat a terrible Kentucky team 29-24 last season, and Aaron Murray kind of had to bail them out when just the defense did not show up and the running game just simply did not show up. But overall, that's a fluke. The last four seasons, Mark Richt is 7-3 on the road. You know, very good record as a road favorite. And as Tom points out, there's no reason to think this Tennessee defense can hang with Georgia's offense at all. Again, if Georgia shows up at all, it's possible that we see one of these kind of fluky performances where a team goes on the road and just isn't there. But otherwise, this is a 2 TD win for the Dogs, I think, pretty easily.
Oklahoma, really a team on the rise, sort of has now become the new Big 12 front runner. They will host TCU, and the Sooners are 11.5-point favorites. Trayvon Boykin finally was able to get the Horned Frogs offense rolling against SMU in the 31-point fourth quarter, much of that having to do with TCU's defense forcing 5 turnovers from the SMU offense. Let's begin with you, Jerry, and you can even, if you think Oklahoma is going to roll here, tell me what number you would take them, because this is another 5 out of 6. It is only Dodd rolling with TCU on this one.
Yeah, I think you'd have to look at the number being around 17 before I took the Horned Frogs. The Frogs did not look nearly as good as that final score against SMU. That game, it was tied 7-7. SMU blocked a punt and had the ball at TCU's 1-yard line and successfully went backwards to like 20 yards after a fumbled snap. And instead of being ahead 14-7, they went at the half ahead 10-7, and then just had Garrett Gilbert festival of interceptions throughout the second half. You know, the final score, like TCU's final 2 touchdowns were scored on an onside kick that was returned for a touchdown, and then they picked off Gilbert again for a pick 6 with like 30 seconds left in the game. You know, the Frogs, admittedly, I'm a little bit bitter after last week saying my like non-top 25 lock of the week was SMU, and then just seeing turnovers
just,
and dumb plays throw away that cover. June Jones, if you're listening, I'm upset. I'm an angry expert picker here at CBS Sports. So anyways, I have no doubt that Oklahoma, especially after handling the way they did Notre Dame on the road last week, is easily the superior team at home. You know, Gary Patterson's got a very good record as a road underdog, but I just don't think that TCU team has the horses this season. I think the Sooners roll.
Tom, you and I were talking about Oklahoma's defense on an earlier podcast, players that we haven't really known, and it's because they haven't necessarily been suiting up and starting. Like guys like redshirt freshman Zach Sanchez, Arizona transfer Cortez Johnson, Frank Shannon is only a redshirt sophomore. So you think this defense still shows up and just gives Boykin a nightmare?
Yeah, it's a young defense, but it's also a defense where the youth is performing well early on. So I think it's a defense that's actually just going to continue to improve as the season goes on and into next year. And to piggyback off what Jerry was saying, I'm going with Oklahoma in this game mostly because I feel like TCU just has not been an impressive team at all. Their 2 wins were an unimpressive 31-point win over SMU and another win against Southeast Louisiana. They just really haven't shown me anything. And like you said, this Oklahoma defense has been fantastic. And now the offense seems to be catching up to the defense. So it's a well-rounded team that I just don't think TCU can compete with, particularly in Norman, where Oklahoma's done pretty damn well under Bob Stoops.
Now we're going to go to 4 games. They're not necessarily all huge spreads. They sort of vary a little bit, but it's all sort of the same basic idea where we all pretty much agree that the favorite's going to win here, and you're just kind of trying to predict whether or not they take their foot off the gas. So our 4 large spreads, we're going to start with West Virginia at number 17, Baylor. Baylor minus 26.5. They were off last week. West Virginia finally gets it rolling with Tricky Clint Trickett showing up there, you know, having that less than 50%, 300 yards passing. It's pulling a Trickett, Jerry. This is what we've decided.
Yeah,
it's called pulling a Trickett. Let's start with you, Jerry. Do you think Baylor covers this one?
Baylor all day. This is my lock of the week. West Virginia caught Oklahoma State just kind of napping. Clearly, after watching the Maryland tape, they decided they would just be able to kind of cruise past West Virginia. J.W. Walsh had a terrible game. You know, Oklahoma State was still in position to win that game. Now they have to go on the road to this Baylor team that's been had a bye week. Lake Seastrunk is averaging 10.97 yards per carry. Yes, that's all. West Virginia's defense is not – this is simply not – they can't have improved that much from giving up 63 points to the same offense last season. Guess what? They're going to give up somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 points again, and that offense going on the road isn't going to score more than about 3 touchdowns. I like Baylor to just coast in this game. It's going to be another blowout.
Same with you, Tom.
Yeah, West Virginia won, but it was an ugly win, and I don't see them being able to do it against Baylor.
Oregon going on the road against Colorado. Colorado with that sort of spirited win on that Sunday night to start the season against Colorado State. You know, everything looks good for Mike McIntyre. Since then, you know, we had the flood game against Fresno State. It's sort of been hard to keep track of the Buffs. Unfortunately, they will be right in the crosshairs going up against one of the best offenses in the country, number 2 team in Oregon. We are 5 of 6. Once again, Dodd is the only troll going with Colorado.
He's the smart one this time.
You think so?
I should have gone with Colorado.
No, just, you should not have.
Yes, I should have.
Like, no, you should not
It's going to happen one of these weeks. Like.
Nope.
Oregon is not going to cover one of these gigantic spreads, and this is probably the week that it happens. Yes, Mike McIntyre is a great coach. I picked Oregon just because I could not make myself pick against the Ducks for a third time. You know, against Tennessee, it did not work. Against Cal, it came a lot closer to working. I should have just stuck with it for one more week, but I couldn't. I went with Oregon, but I don't respect myself. I can't look at myself in the mirror.
You're a ghost?
He's a vampire.
Vampire, that's it. All right, speaking of vampires, Nick Saban will lead the Crimson Tide against Georgia State in Tuscaloosa. Alabama, number 1 team in the country, 56.5-point favorite the way that we picked it. I picked Georgia State. Tom, you picked Georgia State. Jeremy and Dodd go with Georgia State. I think, Tom, do you have any specific reasons? I just assume that Saban has not had the pedal to the metal in the second half. And
yeah.
Okay. Jerry, now you tell me why you think that they will crush Georgia State.
Because Georgia State is the worst team in FBS, bar none. They were blown out by Chattanooga a couple of weeks ago. I think Alabama may just end up covering this spread even without meaning to. Alabama played a Georgia State team that was equally as bad a couple of years ago. It was the same sort of situation where after the first quarter, I don't know if a starter saw the field, and Alabama still won 63-7. And that was with an Alabama offense that's a little bit more low-key than this one. I think Nick Saban probably wants to get his starters a little bit more of a workout this time after they only scored 25 points against Ole Miss. I could be wrong. This is another one where, you know, really flip a coin, but I'm siding with the Tide.
Can I make one point?
Sure.
Sure.
You said that Alabama beat Georgia State 63-7 in 2010.
That yes.
Still doesn't cover a 56.5 point spread, my friend.
Yeah, but it's right on the border.
Nope. When was the last time Alabama beat anybody by 57 points?
Well, they beat them by 56 points 2 years ago.
But they
against
need
Georgia
to beat them
State.
By 57. They'll come the fourth quarter when they're up 50 to negative 5 or whatever the hell the score is going to be. He's just going to sit on the ball and kill the clock and go home. Saban's not running it up on anybody.
Yeah, I like how the people that use like the computer number simulators. I don't know if Bill Connolly's I haven't gotten a chance to read his Football Outsiders projections yet, but I think I saw Steele tweet that his computers have simulated this game with Georgia State to actually finish with negative 3 points. You don't even get zero.
No, it's somehow, some way.
All right, last big one we're going to tackle. We got Louisville going on the road to face a Temple team that is struggling. And Jerry, you like the Owls and the Hooters to cover 33.5. Is this just the – you think this is the Louisville letdown game?
Kind of. I think it's more that Temple has to play well one of these weeks. Clearly they have not done that since they played Houston in week two. Should have lost. I think they lost by 8 that game, and it really should have been a much wider margin. But the defense does have a certain feistiness to it, even if the offense is awful. I think that feistiness does just enough to get it into the fourth quarter at around 28 points, and Louisville just tries to get out of there. 33.5 is still a pretty big spread for Louisville going on the road. Just a gut feeling. It won't surprise me if Louisville covers.
Well, great job, guys. That's 13 games against the spread in 35 minutes.
All right.
Very good job. I hope you enjoyed
efficient.
It. Efficient. Yeah, very efficient. That we are operating at Baylor, Oregon levels of efficiency here on the Ion College Football Podcast with our Expert Picks Podcast. Remember,
like East Carolina against North.
Oh, yeah. Just like the Pirates. 101 yeah. plays, you can get 574 yards. Fantastic.
Yar.
If you are subscribed to the Ion College Football Podcast, you get all of these before they're even posted to CBSSports.com.
I like Pirates.
For Jerry Hannon and Tom Fornelli. Tom Fornelli, the birthday boy. I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.